Hello and welcome back to Game of Thrones off-season. Tonight we're discussing the fiercest female moments in Game of Thrones. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin. Run this mother.
Yes!
Hey.
Love what? It.
They do. You can't argue. Mm-hmm. They do. They run the world.
Thank you for being an ally.
Always.
You guys, always. Welcome back to Game of Thrones off-season. As we mentioned, we're discussing the fiercest female moments, and I'm your fierce host, Kristen Elizabeth Snyder.
The fiercest.
And joining me are some badass women and men. We have Mina Wahab.
I'm super stoked to be here. Thanks for having me,
yeah.
guys.
Yeah, welcome.
Thanks for coming.
Mina. We have
Lauren LaGrasso.
Oh yeah, nailed it. Thank you for having me.
And we have Ryan Malady also bringing it in for the men.
I mean, hey, men can have a feminine side, right?
Yeah, of course.
I
mean,
I would hope so.
Hats off to every woman in your list. This is going to be an awesome show. You can't do it without women. Can't do the world without women.
You
really
can't. That.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to start with some news stories, but stay tuned for our countdown because it's a bomb and you don't want to miss it. Mina, take it away.
I tell you what, I have a story for you.
Oh, you want to go first?
Well,
it doesn't matter.
Okay.
I just want the women to be first this show.
Just this once.
You do story two first.
Yeah, yeah. I'll do story two first. Okay, so, you know, obviously there was a huge Emmy win for Game of Thrones. It's won so many Emmys over the course of however many years this show has been going on, since 2011, I believe. Kit Harington actually was talking about the Game of Thrones surprise Emmy win, revealing what he kept from set. The cast and crew of Game of Thrones descended on the 2018 Primetime Emmy Awards, having won the top award of the night, Outstanding Drama Series, for the show's past two seasons. But that didn't mean that they weren't surprised when season 7 made it a trifecta. It was exciting to be at the Emmy Awards again to win, because we weren't expecting to win this time, star Kit Harington, Jon Snow, told Men's Journal. He also said, "We were away for a while, and I wasn't even sure that we'd get nominated, which in some way sounds mad, but we missed a year, and sometimes they'll wait for a final season to give the awards. I thought season 7 was brilliant, and I'm glad they recognized that." So Harington also revealed that he engaged in a time-honored tradition among actors whose time on a set has come to an end, stealing props. So what exactly did Harington keep as a memento of his 8 seasons on Game of Thrones? He says that he actually didn't take anything too crazy. He kept some of the armor that he used for Jon Snow's outfit, like the wrist protectors that he wears in his costume, and he thought that those were pretty cool.
Those are pretty cool.
And he also took Ygritte.
Yeah, he took Ygritte. That's right. Yeah, he did. He certainly did. That's really cool. You know, honestly, if I was on that show, I'd be finding every opportunity I could to just take a little memento home with me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Do it.
A lock of Jon Snow's hair.
He can have that for the rest of his life, though, unless
he
goes completely
bald. I'll just keep it in my breast pocket forever.
Well, you might get the chance to steal something from the sets, according to your story,
because
Ryan.
Oh, my gosh.
The Sultan of Segways. Okay. So, all right. So, for some a little more news, Game of Thrones filming locations in North Ireland are going to open as tourist attractions.
Ooh.
HBO. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I want to go
awesome.
To Game of Thrones world. But, yeah, so HBO announced Monday it plans to convert some of the show's most famous filming locations in Northern Ireland into tourist attractions, Variety reports. The network is currently planning to open the Game of Thrones Legacy attraction next year, which will allow visitors to explore Winterfell, Castle Black, King's Landing, best locations ever, along with a studio tour featuring props and materials from the show's 8 seasons. So I guess that is your chance to snag something.
If you want to
risk, you know, stealing something from Castle Black, I wouldn't. But HBO is working with Tourism NI to develop the attraction, which is said to be, according to the network, quote, on a scale and scope bigger than anything the public has ever seen.
I mean, of course, because the show was too.
I mean, it is, honey. You gotta
and
expect.
It is.
If they're gonna be making a Game of Thrones attraction, world, or land, then you gotta expect it's gonna be larger than life, just like the show.
And Northern Ireland economy has just went up, skyrocketed.
Yeah, I wonder how much it will cost.
You know, if you have to ask, you can't afford it.
Okay. You know, that's sad.
It's like being in North Ireland and like, I wonder what it would take to get to Disney World. You know, like it's just one of those things where.
Well, I bet a lot of women can afford to go, so sorry, Ryan, we won't invite you on our trip.
You're not going to take me away? I'm an excellent travel companion. I barely eat, and I don't complain.
All right.
All the time.
As long as those two things are fine, then we will take you with us.
I guess.
That's really cool.
It's a women's trip only.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that news story for the day.
Love it. I'm excited to go. What do you got for us, Lauren?
Well, this is from the AfterBuzz news desk, and we just want to say, AfterBuzzers, our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows.
We do.
We've got dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There's really no network that works harder to serve television fans, but we need your help. So we're asking that you please subscribe to one or more, hopefully more, of our YouTube channels. And by subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you. And you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow, which is what we all want. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be, because they're optional, honey buns. So hit that subscribe button for this channel, and we'll check out other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments, and we'll thank you on air. We'll give you a shout out. Everybody wants to be famous these days, so we want you to be too. For now, thank you for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
Mwah.
Awesome. Mwah. And no more news for you guys.
Yes, the ham horn. There it is.
Yes. Thank you for all your support. You guys are awesome. But now it's time for the fiercest female moments in Game of Thrones. We're going to do a countdown. We're going 12 to 1. So
12 to 1?
12 to 1. You know, I put them in the order that I thought was, you know, the least fierce to the most. But they're all fierce. They're all equally fierce.
Okay, so what we should expect is the list to build up. By the end of this show, it will be the most fiercest female, according to you.
It will be. Okay. And you know, in Game of Thrones right now, the women, they are leading the battle.
Yeah.
And so it's most often, it seems like with each show, the women are getting more fierce than the men.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the tagline of the show is all men must die, but not the women. I mean, what about the women?
Oh, they're just going to be.
I'm thinking at the end of this, we're all going to be just looking around at some women.
That's a great prediction. That's great foreshadowing.
There is that moment where Daenerys is walking out of Meereen, I think, with Missandei. Mm-hmm. And then she says, Missandei says, Valar Morghulis. And Daenerys says, yes, all men must die, but we are not men.
Ha-ha.
Yeah.
Oh,
shoot.
Prediction.
Hear that?
Well, talking about Daenerys, we're going to jump into moment 12. When Daenerys ate a horse's heart like it was chicken. I mean, you can't get much more fierce than that. You know, obviously she was with the Dothraki during this period.
Yeah.
But I really feel like that's where she got her strength.
Yeah, you think from the horse heart?
That was hardcore.
From the horse heart and being with the Dothraki in January.
That was very hardcore.
It was heartwarming. No, I'm sorry. I'll leave. Bye, guys.
Well, I feel like
she has a lot of heart. Yeah.
You know, after we saw her go on this journey, I feel like people really saw her as a messiah figure that sort of rose from the ashes, literally, from the fire, you know, and she's got dragon babies. So I feel like this was all getting her ready for these big moments and preparing her for what was to come.
Yeah,
it was definitely a pivotal moment because before that, like, all of this leading up to this point was circumstance. Like, she was forced to marry the Dothraki. It's not like she really had a choice. She was married off to him by her brother. Mm-hmm. And she kind of, like, had this passive role in the beginning where we see her as, like, this very pure, innocent figure. Even in terms of, like, her dress, how she carried herself, she just seems like, you know, she didn't have the power. But she did have the power the entire time. She just didn't have the moment to really shine or step into it until that pivotal scene where she says, she doesn't say this, but she basically is like communicating, I'm one of you guys now. Like, I can hang with the guys. I can fit in with you guys. And I'm a leader.
Right. So, I mean, she didn't come from the best, you know, family background. Her family gets a lot of bad rap, you know, the king and the madness that he did. And, so I just feel like she had a lot to, like, rise above coming from a family name that was definitely tarnished by the Mad King. I mean, it's never good to come from a family that everyone already doesn't like. So she had to gain this reputation all on her own.
Yeah, she was up there standing on her own. No one could help her. No one could intervene.
I was interested you chose this moment versus, like, when she said to pour the gold on her brother's head or when she walked out of the flames. Why this moment as one of your most pivotal?
Because that's definitely not something I would do, eat a horse heart. So this was sort of a selfish task. I mean, I can see pouring gold all over people. That just sounds like...
And technically, I mean, you know...
And she, yeah, she's pouring. She this didn't, is like putting this in her
She didn't do that. Khal Drogo did. She didn't tell him to either. He
and also,
just chose to do that. But that...
I thought she gave him the go-ahead.
I mean...
What could she do?
Yeah.
She just kind of
But maybe
said,
what you're saying
yeah, right.
is this moment set all those other moments off. Mm-hmm.
I feel like, because in this moment you could see that she was really still innocent when she started this, and I feel like after this scene you can see a change in her already.
Mm-hmm. One time I ate... I did actually eat a heart once. It was at some Brazilian, like, bistro thing, you know, where they come by and they slice off a piece of meat from everything. And this guy comes by with a skewer of these little, they look like little nuggets or whatever. And I was like, yeah, I'll take one. And it was a chicken heart. And it was such a crazy feeling to hold a heart in my hand.
I can't believe you ate that. You're such an animal.
it was small. It was like the size of a, you know, a little chicken nugget. And it was.
And that's why he's a man.
It was kind of chewy. It wasn't bad. It was a really ominous feeling to chew the heart. You know, it's the life force of a creature. And so I mean, while I can't really relate to the type, the raw horse heart. I mean, that thing was huge.
Yeah.
And good for her, but I can kind of, you know.
So Danny does
I just
want
to Photoshop Ryan's head in that picture.
I know. Right, Daenerys does this when she's forced, but Ryan does this, you know, on the reg.
Getting Brazilian
I didn't get seconds. I just had the one.
Let's jump to moment 11. Your favorite, Brienne Tarth. She fought a bear and lived. I mean, you hear all the time people die from, you know, trying to even just run away from a bear. This woman fought the bear. I mean, we know she's a strong woman. We've seen her fight other men in the show, like the Hound. She pushed him off a cliff.
Oh, yeah.
And she's now, you know, protecting our favorites, the Starks. I just feel like there's nothing she can't do, and I definitely think she'll be standing at the end of this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but if Jaime wasn't there during that scene, I don't know if she would have been able to escape. Because she didn't do it
Still,
all.
Still, though, I mean, look, she's taking him on with a wooden sword. Like, she didn't just, like, freak out and cower and, you know, no, she's like, I mean, she bested Loras Tyrell. Mm-hmm. She bested Jaime.
The Hound.
And this bear, she's putting up a fight. She's not going down without a fight. And Brianna Tara, she is the bear and the maiden. The bear and the maiden fair.
This is amazing. And this image is unbelievable. And if you're not watching, you need to check it out. Go type it into YouTube right now or check it out in Google Images. It's really a striking image to see her not going down. But I do think that, to me, this moment was really interesting because it was the moment that her and Jaime truly aligned and became one. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, I mean, this takes it a little bit away from women, but sort of not because it involves love, which is a lot of times thought of as a feminine quality. But a lot of people think that her and Jaime are going to end up together in the end, which is kind of...
I endorse that.
Interesting.
I mean, I think they'll have a moment, but I don't think Jamie's going to survive.
You ship it?
I'll ship it for a moment, but, like, dude's got to die.
I don't know. I see her being...
Bala Magules.
I see her being on her own, not in a negative way. Just, like, I see her as a very strong lead that I don't see any, like, romance budding with anyone for some reason. I just see her kind of standing alone or... I don't know.
I'm with you, Mina. Let's get into moment 10. My favorite and Halloween costume, the Sand Snakes.
Oh, my God. I can't wait to follow Kristen at Cinematic Escape to check out her Halloween costume, because that's where I'm going day after Halloween. Kristen's Instagram. I want to see that.
Listen, I'm also going to be sporting daggers laced with poison, so beware.
Wait, which outfit are you going with?
Well, we're going to do a combo of all of them. I think Halloween is like the chance to be scandalous for a lot of women who usually aren't. So I'll probably go with option 3 and add those poisonous daggers. Maybe a little head wrap in there.
I like it. You know, This is not going to be a popular opinion.
Of the sand snakes?
I didn't really dig them, and I know that's really the consensus among viewers as well. But I'm going to say the only reason why is because there's such stark realism, no pun intended, in this show. You believe everything you see, right? Everything is so intricately done that no matter what happens, you can believe, even if it's dragons, you believe it because it's the universe in which they've created for us, right? Mm-hmm. But with the sand snakes, these girls, these women.
Thank you.
Hey.
Hi.
I just wanted to see them jacked. If you're gonna have these like vicious warriors from down south, like the warriors
this
to end all warriors.
Isn't Wonder Woman?
I'm just saying, maybe if they casted, I mean, sure, they did a fine job, but like if they cast women who are actually like built like warriors, maybe I would have believed it.
So you're saying I'm not a warrior because I don't have a lot of muscle.
Are you a warrior?
Hell, yes, I am a warrior. Are you kidding me?
I'm just saying, they're throwing spears through men's heads.
Do I live amongst men?
They didn't look
men?
Like they could, though. It was just kind of like, it wasn't quite there for me. Listen, honestly.
Is Katniss Everdeen jock, though?
I don't think her muscles are particularly bulging. Yeah, but I think, too, the thing with women is...
It's like about dexterity.
Actually, to get back to what you were saying, it's like it doesn't always necessarily show as much as it would in men because we just have different muscle structure.
Honestly, I have the same exact complaint about Grey Worm. I don't think he, you know, he doesn't look as jacked as, like, the leader of the Unsullied should. And that is nothing about men or women. It's just that I personally don't think that casting-wise... I mean, they did a great job performance-wise, but as far as, you know, me looking and saying and looking at them and believing these are, like, you know, the famed sand snake warriors of Dorne, I just didn't buy it. That's all.
All right, well, this isn't about you. It's about the women of Game of Thrones and how they're fierce
pretty,
they
they're
are.
They're pretty fierce. Okay,
and
they are. You're right.
And I will
say
that, you know what, they had vengeance on their side. And how many movies out there do you see the weakest person suddenly get really, really hurt and come back with a hell of vengeance and pour it upon anyone who's hurt them? Arya Stark, she freaking jacked. We'll get into that later.
Mentally strong.
Point taken.
The men in this show, they don't live as long as the women. I mean, let's look at like Oberyn Martell. I mean, Arya had to see him go down, and that's what brought about, you know, the Sand Snakes being her best friends and them seeking vengeance and, you know, poisoning anyone they could. And I love the fact that like the dagger has the poison on it. Cause you don't see that coming. You're like, oh, I just got scratched, and then you're like, bye.
Yeah.
Right. That's also part of their strength.
Exactly.
Their mental acuity.
Yeah, also, if I could interject, hi, everybody.
Please.
It's Anthony here in the booth. I feel like they relied more on their speed. Because if you have a sharp enough dagger, that's going to penetrate anybody no matter if it just falls on your like foot, it's going to stab you, you know?
True.
So,
along with their speed and the sharpness of their weapons, add on poison, that's a viper. That's true to their nature of where they come from. A viper, a snake, doesn't rely on power. It relies on speed to constrict you, like your neck or break your arm or so-and-so. So I think it's spot on.
Hey,
Thanks for being a true fan of the sand snakes, Anthony.
I'm just saying, if you didn't have the dissenting opinion over here in the corner, then we wouldn't have heard all that beautiful, you know, that beautiful
articulation
rebuttal from Anthony. So,
Thanks, Anthony. Let's go ahead to moment 9. We got Marjorie Tyrell, and she would do anything and everything to be queen, including Renly Joffrey Thomas.
Marjorie's. She was my favorite queen.
I mean,
she's
got the
for the short time that she was.
I just forgot she was dead for a minute, and then I remembered how dead she was.
She's
burnt to a crisp right now.
Let's go from one to dead.
She's the most dead.
She dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was unbelievable. Talk about patience too.
Yes.
Patience and steady confidence.
Mm-hmm.
She was like a Lady Littlefinger. Almost.
Yeah, but with looks. I mean, she had the manipulation skills of her grandmother, the queen, but then she also, you know, had this young beauty that she could use to charm whoever she wanted.
And she was charitable, you know, she was good with the people, she was good with politics, she knew how to handle these incapable men that she happened to be having to handle. And she would have been, I think, a wonderful queen for King's Landing had she only not fallen into the pit of Cersei's wrath. But yeah, she was definitely my favorite. She's up there.
And her demeanor was always, like, more subdued, like, on the surface. Yes. Not really how she was on the inside, but, like, just very subdued, like, overly, like, overtly feminine energy. Mm-hmm. And she definitely knew how to use all of those traits to her advantage in every way. So
I love that you said how feminine she is, because our next moment, number 8, is about Ygritte, who is totally not feminine at all.
Mm-mm.
But she offered Jon Snow some simple sex advice, and I think it really changed his life to the point where he married her. You know, Jon, you really don't know anything, and you needed a little bit of Ygritte in your life. But the fact that she just was able to distract someone who had, you know, made this oath without being feminine whatsoever. You know, it's something that I think a lot of females, we focus on. We feel like we're supposed to wear makeup. We feel like we're supposed to wear heels. And then at the end of the day, like, this woman who didn't, you know, do anything to show her feminine qualities, she won over this man who had even taken an oath that he wouldn't sleep with anyone.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know what? We gotta throw those heels and makeup away sometimes.
And I think, if anything, it was her strength that he loved.
Exactly.
So, I don't know. That's a sign of a good relationship to me.
She was fierce. I mean, especially, she was a woman scorned when Jon Snow left.
Mm-hmm.
Man, anytime you'd see her after that, she was sniping people with those arrows. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was fierce, man. It was really cool to watch her unleash her wrath before she met her end. But yeah, Ygritte was so sad.
Ollie.
Her death was, but it was beautiful to see that moment between the two of them. Gosh.
Nobody likes Ollie.
No one likes Ollie.
Yeah. Is he still alive?
No, he got hanged.
Yeah, they hung him.
All right.
He was hanged.
Too many characters to keep track of.
They're all dead. When in doubt, they're dead.
When in doubt, you're dead.
Listen, if you heard someone that the majority of people like in Game of Thrones, it's going to come to an end for you. I mean, that's what we're rooting for.
Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned.
It's kind of the
theme of the fiercest females, right? A lot of these women have been scorned in one way or another, and they come back and either reap their vengeance or climb to power or just kill everybody. Pretty fierce.
I agree. Talking about another woman with bright red hair, moment 7, Melisandre. You know, she used her manipulation skills in every situation to do anything that she wanted, basically. I mean, she basically birthed a shadow baby to kill Renly.
Demon shadow baby.
You know, she got Stannis to kill his daughter. She even almost convinced Jon Snow to be sexual with her. I mean, this woman, this Lord of Light, is so powerful. It's got this almost, you know, that when someone has that hourglass in front of you and they're like hypnotizing, she's like so hypnotizing to anyone who's around her. It's like it's almost not their fault. What do you guys think about her?
I think she's one of the most powerful, just with, like, all of that black magic that she has up her sleeves and, like, really trying to manipulate people by, like, through her, like, quote-unquote psychic abilities and kind of exaggerating them or, like, using them. Like, she totally uses everything to her advantage. Like, everything she can possibly use, she uses. And it's in a very different way from all the other characters. It's very calculated. It's very, it's like, take no prisoners. It's like, everything must be done to ensure she gets exactly what she wants.
Well, and she takes no credit either. For her, it's like, hey, I'm just the messenger. It's the Lord of Light that's doing all this.
What
but
he wants.
What's so often overlooked is that, you know, for the first, like, 3 seasons, it was like the War of the 5 Kings.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty much Melisandre who put it all to an end when she had Bastard Baratheon. On the
all right, yes.
Spacing, because I'm thinking of the names of the kings. She put the leeches on him, threw him into the fire. The usurper Joffrey, the usurper Renly, the usurper Robb Stark, and each one of those kings all died.
Yes.
So she's, because of her and her relationship with the Lord of Light, with the Lord in this world, she put an end to the War of the Five Kings pretty much single-handedly, which is pretty friggin' fierce. So
I think the fact that she can see into the future in the fire, like in comparison Bran does, she's got the skills that are needed to survive this winter and what's coming, you know, and a lot of the characters in the show don't, but I think she's going to be monumental in helping them win this war.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think she's at with her confidence, though? Because, I mean, I think she felt pretty good about herself when she brought Jon Snow back to life. But I feel she's broken in a way that she wasn't in the first few seasons.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's definitely growth. It's like wisdom. Before, she was so headstrong and so confident and cocksure that when things stopped going the way that she thought they were going to go, she would start to just completely lose faith. But I think anyone who's interpreting signs from flames can have a little bit of self-doubt and not be so sure. If she can take a step back and say, well, you know what? It's up for interpretation. This might not be exactly what's going to happen, but you know, if she could just be more cautious moving forward, then I think she'll be able to be more helpful for the cause.
That would make her a much better leader. And also, she's like 309.
Still looking good though. Yeah, I think she's kind of questioning, obviously, some of the things that she's done, and she's not sure if she was doing what was right.
Right.
So I think she's in this stage where she needs someone to actually call upon her to be helpful at this point. So let's get into moment 6, when Olenna Tyrell alluded to possibly aiding in the killing of Joffrey, and everyone rejoiced. I mean, obviously, Queen of Thorns, she has a sharp tongue. But this was so opposite of her character. I mean, she knows when to keep her mouth shut, but because she was so discreet about this, I mean, none of us really knew for a while who it was. Some of us really did think that it could have been Sansa.
Mm-hmm. It was the moment where she played with her necklace.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, because of the necklace. It was the necklace. You're like, wow, this woman, at first, you're just like sharp tongue, sharp wit. But now you're like, wow, she can really orchestrate.
Yes.
And usurp the throne. Like, what? Lady Olenna, I didn't know you had it in you.
I mean, she always had the best lines of the show.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
She always made me feel empowered.
She's on my dream board. I want to be more like her.
I love that.
And there's
that.
A line that she says. I mean, you've heard a lot of people say this, but it's so a representation of who she is. It says, you could smell the shit from a mile away. And I always think of that, and I try to really channel her in my life because she just gets what she wants and tells it like it is.
I agree.
All the way up to her final words.
Yeah.
She was still, like, being fierce. Oh, by the way.
But I did.
Tell her, it was me. Damn, Lady Olenna, taking it to the grave.
Yeah. Right? I mean, I think that made us all feel something. And so the fact that, like, the way, how powerful her words were, like, really made us as an audience feel that.
Mm-hmm.
That vengeance and that also the shock value of what, you know, they were feeling on the opposite side of getting that news. So... she was so powerful in different ways than other women in this show.
Yeah. I feel like the only one I can think of off the top of my head who kind of mirrors her kind of prowess in character would be Little Lady Mormont.
Yes!
I would think that she like kind of filled the vacuum that Lady Olenna left when she died.
In a different way. Lady Olenna is like more cunning and kind of does things behind the scene. Lady Mormont just says what she thinks.
I would imagine that Lady Olenna would have been kind of like Lady Mormont when she was a child.
Yeah, definitely. You know? Yes. Like, same energy.
Yeah. Fierce energy.
So let's take it to number 5, Sansa orchestrating Peter Baelish's death.
This was such
a great moment. And Ryan loves Peter Baelish, so he's very sad about this. But it's I don't feel like a lot of us were shocked at this moment. We were afraid that Arya was the one that Sansa was going to kill. And it was because the sisters had been at each other.
Mm-hmm.
But because Sansa was sort of raised under Cersei and raised under Peter Baelish, you know, she is able to pull off this huge manipulation on top of someone who raised her how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, it was a pretty, pretty unfair trial. And, you know, if you guys watch the show or listen to the show regularly, you'll know how much of a fan of Littlefinger I am. So this is tough for me to... Sansa's definitely had fierce moments.
Oh, there it is.
But, oh, man, this was one that I lamented, definitely.
Not at all. I was like, yes, well deserved. Yeah. Don't try to rape her and, you know, do everything that you did.
Marry her off to Ramsay.
He didn't try to rape anybody, though.
Debatable.
He had rapey energy at the very least. Yeah. And there was a kiss that was kind of awkward. Yeah, I was so happy when this happened, and I totally didn't see it coming. I thought that Arya, she was going to kill Arya for sure. Yeah. So this was a great moment, and I love that you put it on here, because not only was it a great moment for Sansa, but it was a great moment of two women uniting instead of going against each other, which we way too often see in this life and on TV. Mm-hmm. So kudos to them for showing what can happen when women unite.
Yeah.
Murder.
Yeah.
Kill them all.
Yeah. But, like, necessary murder. Yes.
No, it was pretty hardcore. I thought at least Littlefinger was going to get out of it somehow, like he always does, or at least be arrested and put in a cell or something.
You were hoping.
I was hoping.
You were hoping.
But it didn't.
Nope. Well, I mean, just Sansa as a character. I know a lot of people had seen her as kind of whiny and weak for so long, but she really came into her own. I mean, she survived Ramsay, which is a woman's worst nightmare, somebody like that. Literally an animal of a man, which we see quite often, unfortunately.
Yes.
But, you know, Sansa, you gotta give it up to her, because she's come a long way, and I feel like she's really gonna continue to be fierce. This is just the beginning for her.
Yeah, she's
had, like, the greatest story arc out of any of the characters.
You think so? You like her arc? What makes you say that?
I just feel like she started out kind of being, like, this ditzy, like, oh, yeah, I really like King Joffrey, and yeah, he's great, and yeah, sure, my father was beheaded, but I still love King Joffrey, and I'm like, what? And then you just see, like, this progression of her character becoming, like, more and more badass and fierce, and kind of being somewhat propelled by this revenge motif. Not in the same way that Arya is, like, not to that degree, but we kind of see, like, this growth within her character.
She might jump on board with Arya's jealous.
Definitely. And, you know, Naz in the chat is saying his favorite Sansa moment was unleashing the hounds on Ramsay. And I thought, you know, that was amazing.
That was amazing.
Sweet revenge.
Thanks for bringing that up. That was an amazing moment, I think, that we all loved as well. Let's get into moment four. Anytime Dany says, Dracarys.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a picture of Krasnys, you know.
Yeah.
The slave driver. And, you know, this was the first time that she ever used her dragons to, you know, kill a slave master or anyone.
Well,
and
was it in the...
It was in the House of the Undying.
When
they
were
first
little baby dragons.
Okay.
Dracarys, and she burned the what is it called? The...
Mask?
But not a person.
No, yeah.
I'm talking about her kill. She killed...
Yeah, yeah. Remember when she was chained up?
The scary guy who looked like a ghost.
Yeah, I totally forgot his name, but he's one of the... He's in Karth. It was in Karth, and he was one of the...
He was like, now you're in a different room.
I remember him with, like, the pointy
One of the 13.
Yeah.
And his mouth was all blue from drinking.
He looked like Nosferatu.
Stuff.
I remember.
Yeah, a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And you know what? Now I remember, but I didn't then, because I just felt like this was really the first time when she was showing, like, a crowd. Like, that was sort of, like, a private...
Right.
And she was saving her life in that moment, and her children's life.
Yeah. I guess that's what kind of triggered her to know, though, and it's also important that she had that power. But in this scene, I remember when she did this, I was just, like, blown away. And I actually had Krasnys come on our show this season. Yeah, I know him. He does CrossFit, and I used to be huge into CrossFit. Not
anymore. Awesome.
Hurt myself.
I'm sorry you hurt yourself.
But I'm still fierce.
Yes, you are.
Thank you. But anyway, I just remember this moment really making me get on board with Daenerys. I wasn't sure for a while, but then at this moment when she, like, used fire and blood for good, I was just like, yeah. And I really got on board with her. So that's why I chose this moment. But there are so many. Obviously, the fact that she just birthed dragons. It's huge.
She, anytime she says Dracarys, and she could say it with just such a... It's such a juxtaposition, because she'll just say a word. A simple word, and softly and calmly, but then all hell breaks loose. So you just know it's going to be you can sit back, relax, and enjoy some grade A destruction when she says that word.
Yeah, I just feel like I said earlier, people do see her as, like, this messiah figure who rose from the ashes, and I think that's a lot of the reason why a lot of people have gotten behind her. because she's like a leader that's easy to stand behind.
Well, and the cool thing, did you all read any of the books?
Yeah, we read part of them.
Okay. In the first book, it's such a cool scene because those people, the Dothraki, at first did not want to follow her at all. They're like, no, this is bullshit. I'm not following a woman. There's no Khaleesi. What the hell? And then when she walks out of the flame, they all bow to the ground and go, my queen, my queen. So she's just such a symbol of female empowerment for me. And what can really happen when you own who you truly are.
Yes. And it's hard to find that. I mean, she had to dig really deep. Mm-hmm. And she did not have a support system. She was out there all alone trying to figure it out. And I feel like that's a lot of us who move out to L.A.
Yeah.
And we don't have that support system. It takes so much to rise in a place like this. So I identify with that girl, and I love her.
Yes. We're all rising from the ashes. We all have to reinvent ourselves and rebirth ourselves.
I'm still burning, actually.
Well, that's good. That means the change is coming soon.
Listen, we are
so positive.
Is that what my moon sign says?
Yeah. We were looking at astrology birth charts before the show.
Oh, I love that. I'm all about it. Gemini, what up?
What up?
Moment three. Cersei made it clear that she takes shit from no one, and I mean no one. She blew up that set. Mm-hmm. Season 6, episode 10.
Oh my god.
Did you guys
that
see this
was
coming
so
at
crazy.
All?
Not at all. We watched this together.
Yeah.
As we normally do.
Of course.
You know, right before we do the shows. Wow, dude. Cersei just chopped the legs out from underneath every plot line the entire season was building. And like the past couple seasons were building up. And it just made you, it made you take a step back and think, you know, I thought I understood this show. I really thought I after the Red Wedding, you're like, okay, I get, you know, after Ned Stark, you're like, okay, wow, this is a different kind of show. They'll just kill your hero. And then the Red Wedding comes and you're like, wow, they weren't even close to the Ark and they're all dead. And even after the Red Wedding, this was the moment that put the Red Wedding to shame. It was like, she blew up everybody. Everybody.
It was awesome.
I was disappointed because I was like, wow, I just feel like I watched this whole High Sparrow plotline build up to. I was really wondering what was going to happen, you know? What would have happened had she not blown everybody up? Well, but that must have been fun to pitch.
Never know.
This was the only end that anyone could see. I mean,
I'm just thinking about like the writer's room, like what was like going on. Like, yeah, we should just kill them all.
What do we do now?
I mean, we've got all these characters and we really don't want to continue their story. Blow that shit up.
I guess that does make it easier to write.
Yeah.
Then you can
kill them when you're done. You run out of ideas. Kill them. It's fine.
Just kill them.
I want to talk about Cersei for a moment, though.
Yeah.
I mean, she is this very rare, deeply flawed character that has no friends, is not likable. I mean, she is a character that we don't normally see. And even though I don't like her and I know she's coming to an end, like, I still like her.
Do you really?
I respect her.
Yeah,
she's one of the most unlikable characters on the show. I'm so surprised.
I mean, I don't like her in the terms of the show and what she does to people. But as an audience member, I freaking love Cersei. She's so unpredictable. She's got nothing to lose.
Cersei.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, you lost all your children, everyone who loves you, like, and you have zero friends. Like, what is she going
to
do next?
She's a loose cannon because there's nothing that she really wants to live for, is there? I mean,
just power.
Does power matter, though, when you don't have people around you that you truly, like, love and respect?
Well, I think that's why the false pregnancy has risen at this point.
That's the question, is, like, what is she in it for? Mm-hmm. And now she says she's pregnant, which who knows? But all she really has is Qyburn and her little Franken mountain.
Yes.
And potentially a baby, but she's lost her brother. She lost all her children.
The witch didn't predict a fourth child.
Yeah. Right. I don't think it's happening. Let's get to moment two. Every time Arya Stark is on screen.
Yeah.
/ Walter Frey, because that scene was bomb. I mean, Arya just, like, commands the screen, I feel like, when she's around. But when we opened into that scene.
Yeah, that was
awesome.
And
we saw, you know, everyone being poisoned and her being Walder Frey. I was just, like, so taken back. I thought it could be her, but it's like, you're not expecting it.
Okay. So, I might have mentioned this on a previous show. Yes, Arya is a fierce Aff female.
Yeah.
And it's been Aff. So...
I love Aff.
I say Aff now. Why
I
not?
Do too.
Why not? She, to watch her grow and develop from a child into one of the world's most deadly assassins has been just a wild ride of a journey.
A privilege.
It's been a tip of the hat to you, Miss Stark. But this moment right here in particular made me kind of... Now I'm kind of afraid of her. Because to think the amount of preparation that went in, she literally baked a pie with body parts. I mean, if you think about the logistics of that, she had to chop up those body parts and grind up the meat and make a meat pie. And you're like, damn, like that is brutal.
Sweetie Todd up in here.
Right?
Mm-hmm. She did all that.
That is all just a relish in the moment.
I just, like, keep comparing her to the protagonist of Gone Girl. Like, which one is worse? Who's, like, more calculating and, like, fierce in a sense? I don't know.
She enjoys killing. She enjoys killing. Mm-hmm. That's the thing, is that's what sets her apart, I think, from a true, like, justice warrior. You know, when you look at, like, regular old superheroes, Wonder Woman or Batman or whatever, they don't enjoy killing. They enjoy justice, but Arya Stark likes to kill, and that makes her one of the fiercest women
but,
out there.
You know, I don't think it comes from, like, this demonic place. I don't think, like, she's, like, serial killer, like, oh, I get so much pleasure from this. It's like,
I mean, do you remember Meryn Trent?
Yeah, she likes it. As long as they deserve to be on her list, then she'll enjoy it.
Yeah, when she, like, recites her list every night. Like,
you're saying she's not a straight-up sociopath. Yeah, she does have reason behind
it. She's not. It's like revenge is the strongest driving force of all of her actions, and I feel like, okay, come on, if your dad dies and, like, your whole family is, like, killed in front of you, or, like, this, the most traumatic incident happens, people deal with trauma in different ways. Some people, like, shut down, other people go on a killing spree, and she's just one of those people.
But she enjoyed sword fighting long before she had a reason to kill people.
Well, she was always, kind of, like, attracted to the art of, jousting, I guess.
Shout out to one of our last shows, though. We did the psychology of Game of Thrones and talked about, with the psychologist in studio, what these characters were doing and how their past affected what they were doing now. And it was really interesting. He even, you know, let us know what sort of, like, syndromes he...
I just got chills.
He thought that they had.
I can't wait to watch that.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, go check it out.
Yeah, check it
Psychology of Game of Thrones on YouTube.
Can we just say Arya was also blind for a minute and she came back from being blind? So, fierce! Moment one, guys. This is my favorite moment. Can I get a drum roll up in here? Anthony, where are you at?
There it is.
Catelyn Stark falling in love with Ned and raising a badass bunch of females and continuing the Stark lineage.
Yay, like, Catelyn Stark. I'm surprised, honestly. I'm surprised, you know, I was looking at your list, and it's definitely unconventional, because you think about the stereotypical fierce women of Game of Thrones. You think Cersei, you think Daenerys, you think Arya Stark. But Catelyn, such a great choice, because she doesn't have these, like, superhuman, supernatural abilities. She doesn't have dragons or, you know, faceless man, you know, powers. But Catelyn Stark, I mean, the most relatable, fierce personification of a mother that the show had to offer.
It just almost makes me want to cry when you're talking about it, though, because her superpower was her love. Mm-hmm. Even when you think about her protecting Bran and holding that knife, and the robber/murderer was trying to pull the knife out of her hands, and she let her hands get cut raw. Yes. But she kept fighting for her little boy, and because of that, he is alive. So you're absolutely right. Her superpower was her femininity, was her mothering, and that is beautiful.
I don't think there's anything more fierce than falling in love, because you have to drop your ego, you have to put it all to the side, you have to be so open and willing to get so tragically hurt by showing someone your true self. I don't think there's anything more fierce in this world you can do other than fall in love.
I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, I mean, fall in love, raise a family.
People don't. It's scary.
Being vulnerable is fierce, because you would think that you have to be, like, aggressive and, like, you know, just to be fierce. But I think, like, just that inner strength of letting people in is a very strong characteristic, because it means you're confident enough to be able to take that risk and go with the flow of what happens.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, raising the sword is the easy thing to do, but, you know, coming down to an emotional level, that's the hard thing. And it's fierce. Show your emotions. Okay, we're going to do a rapid fire game really quick because we got to wrap. Who would win and why? Arya versus Cersei.
Oh, Arya, 100%. You know why? Because she is driven by revenge and it is the strongest motivating factor, like I stated earlier. And as long as she has that driving her, nothing is going to stop her.
I got to go with Arya too. I mean, Cersei's on her list.
There you go.
Cersei's on her list. Cersei's going to die.
All right, guys. Ygritte or Yara?
That's hard.
We didn't talk about Yara, but I mean, she's amazing. She was like, you know.
Yara, for sure.
I'm going to go Yara. Yeah. She's got a whole, she commands a whole ship. And
she's stronger. She's got more strategy.
She was raised to.
Melisandre versus Olenna Tyrell.
Oh, definitely Melisandre.
Yeah.
I just feel like,
I think Olenna.
Really?
She's a sneaky competitor. Even
this depends on how you
even this little lady, Melisandre, couldn't see her coming in the fire.
Oh, shoot! Dany versus any other female on this show.
Okay, question. Dany and Arya, who would win? Do you think? Because I feel like there's something about them. It's like kind of like
on
an even.
The same team.
I know. That's why I put it out there.
I think it'd be a draw.
Draw. But I think if she doesn't let her ego get involved, then she could win against anyone. If she lets her ego get involved, she's blinded and she could lose against anyone.
Who, Arya or Daenerys?
Dany.
It would be because Dany doesn't fight.
Her
dragons fight. Her armies fight. She fights with
she's the master
command and conquer type.
Yeah.
And Arya fights one on one in the shadow. So I mean, Arya's gonna take out Dany until if Dany sees her coming, then it's Dany's fight.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, guys,
they're all fierce though.
Yes. Thank you everyone for joining us for fiercest female moments in Game of Thrones. I love this list. If you guys have other moments that you love, please put them in the comments. And I just want to say. And like us, you guys can follow me at Cinematic Escape on Instagram, Kristen Elizabeth Snyder. Mina, where can we follow you?
You guys can follow me across social media at Mina Makes Magic.
Mm. And you can follow me across social media at Lauren LaGrasso. And happy birthday, Mom.
Woo! Mom, happy birthday, the fiercest lady.
Yeah, moms. Hi, Mom. It's me, Ryan Malady. You can find me all across the mediums at Ryan Malady. And stay tuned for the next month's show.
Yes.
We're going to be doing Most Majestic Men.
Of course.
Because why not? Fierce female, majestic men. You got to have both to make the show. So, stay tuned. Subscribe if you haven't already. Give us a thumbs up if you like what you see. Leave comments and we'll see you guys next month.
Yeah, hey, go on and continue being your bad self, ladies. We'll see you same time, same place, last Thursday of the month, next month. Fall in love. Be fierce.
You can do it.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.